It's the Adam Gold Show. We're at ACC football kickoff. You recognize this guy next to me as Chip Patterson. We're right next to each other. We're not looking at each other through a camera. It's very nice.
Very nice.
That is Chip Patterson. All right. Let me get Chip a little bit more level here, so we can hear Chip. I know you're a Hurricanes fan.
Yeah.
What did you get for your 26th birthday?
It was not an 8-year extension for 9.75 annual average value.
Yep.
So the text chat, you know, as I've been telling you about my little corner at Caniacs, you know, with Dr. Dean and Brinson, and the question is he still going to be Joe's neighbor, Joe Ovius?
You know, like, he has moved into a different
this mean?
Bracket.
And I told them, I said, but his house is the crash house for the Finns,
right.
So I hope he keeps his place in North Hill, near North Hills, and then it can just be for all the newcomers, all the Finnish players that come
right in.
They can crash there, and then now maybe Sebastian can get his own spot. At 9.75 a year, I think you can afford, even in today's Raleigh real estate market,
a couple
homes.
Does he go inside the Beltline, or does he go North Raleigh?
Ooh, I think that he's probably going to start sniffing. I mean, listen to me, but I mean, he's probably going to start sniffing out something near a golf course.
as would I,
in that similar situation. But yeah, there's, you know, we got some fine golf courses. You might need to get a little north to be able to go find that.
There's no question about that. All right, we're here. Let's talk a little football. And I don't do a ton of this because, frankly, I'm not 100%. I'm probably not the best person to ask. But the more I looked at it, the more I thought, well, Clemson looks like they have the most good players.
Yes.
I'm not 100% sold on their quarterback.
Sure.
I think if I was ranking quarterbacks in the ACC, we would be near six or so before we get to Cade Klubnik.
Interesting.
Right? I think Drake May, Jordan Travis. I think Riley Leonard. I actually picked Riley Leonard. I think he's the second best quarterback in the league.
Okay.
He might not have the best overall, you know, team around him, obviously, so it's going to be more difficult. I think if you put Riley Leonard on the Clemson Tigers, I think they would be a runaway in this league. I don't think they're going to run away. I think they're going to struggle a little bit, but I think they'll win games because they have better team, better players. So you looked at me cross-eyed.
There's a real debate between Jordan Travis and Cade Klubnik, and it's a fascinating debate because Jordan Travis is arguably maxed out. He is near the end of his run.
How much better is he going to get?
We've seen him get better and better and better and better. And Cade Klubnik, he's still got a long runway ahead of him.
Right.
You know, we've only seen him in a couple games, and he has made some capital B boneheaded mistakes in those games, but he was also thrown in very, very poor situations. And, you know, DJ Uiagalelei, in his conversations with The Athletic over the summer, even talked about some of those games where, you know, he felt like the quarterback position wasn't necessarily being managed in a way where either player had a chance to be successful. Change at coordinator with Garrett Riley coming in, and, you know, you're bringing in, because Cade Klubnik from Austin, Texas, at Austin Westlake powerhouse
high school football program, where all the quarterbacks come from.
And like Garrett Riley, Texas air raid roots. I think that that's going to end up working out in a way where I am, if we're only considering what we have seen, I understand you trying to put him by six, but if I am ranking it going into the season, I think he's much closer to a top three, arguably in the 2, 3, or 4 spot. But I'm with you on Leonard.
I love him.
Like we've seen Phil Dracovic at his best be very, very good, given what we saw from Riley Leonard and given how he, from what we've heard, has even improved since the end of last season. I would take Riley Leonard over Phil Dracovic. You know, I would take Riley Leonard over Brennan Armstrong.
But you don't have Riley Leonard second best in the league.
No, I would say either Travis
or Klubnik.
Yeah,
and that's
probably
why we
Travis.
Have you on.
Yeah.
Jordan
and,
Travis,
yeah, with,
too.
With respect from what what you've done so far.
Well, if Klubnik has improved, then Clemson's offense should be much more dynamic, and they've been just, at best, an average offense.
Last year was, first of all, they were one of the worst offenses in the ACC 2 years ago, and that's startling because for 7 straight years, they were number one or number two.
Right.
And so even as they did take, like, very noticeable steps forward statistically, I think we just still had like the echoes of what had been so bad in 2021 that we just wanted it to go right back to the top. I just think that's a building process. And so like they still were able to move the ball and put up enough yards and points that I think they finished around like 5th or 6th in the ACC in most offensive categories, but we want them to be one or two, especially if they're going to be a championship team.
I mean, that's what it's about, right? The ACC has a team that is going to challenge to even get into the college football playoff, that they have to look the part.
Yes.
Right? And Clemson hasn't looked the part really the last couple of years.
Yeah, a selection committee that is only using 12 games to be able to rank you needs to just be able to see that you look good. And that's where, you know, being able to have a better red zone offense. I mean, they consider the bowl game against Tennessee. That was just mind-numbing to watch Cade Klubnik in that start. You're so excited for it. He moves the ball effectively, like his first five or six possessions, and then they just absolutely spill their food when they get into the red zone. So, like, yeah, there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up. You know, we'll see. Are you going Clemson 1 as your, like, order of finish?
Yes, actually. I picked them to go 12-0 on the in our Place Your Bet segment yesterday. So I guess I have to, you know, go with that. Yes, I picked Clemson 1.
Because Clemson,
I think they have the most favorable schedule among the top teams, too.
Oh, yeah, it's
great.
They
get Florida State at home. They don't play Pitt.
They don't play Clemson.
They don't play.
That's right. I love doing that in strength of schedule analysis. I'm like, hey, you know what is really nice about Clemson's schedule? They don't have to play Clemson.
That's true.
These other teams, man, they got to play Clemson and Florida State and North Carolina and Louisville.
Right, we're going to talk about Duke, and I know we're going to talk to Mike Elko today.
Duke's schedule, yeah.
Right. Duke's got them all.
Yeah, Duke has, after being in the Coastal Division and having Wake Forest as your primary draw, like you were never seeing these teams, even NC State, and now they go Clemson, Florida State, Louisville, NC State, plus the Wake Forest game. Like, those are the five most successful programs from that other side of the division that they have not been playing. Like, they would love to get an old Coastal Division schedule.
They have Pitt. They have Pitt on the schedule.
And
they
North Carolina.
Carolina State, right? They play everybody.
Yeah.
Like, when I made a list of who I thought was the best teams in the league, Clemson and Florida State, and I have Pitt 3, although now that I looked at it, I probably should have Pitt 2, since I have Pitt beating Florida State, and they're both tied at 6-2 in my list. So Pitt would go to the ACC title game. So Clemson, Pitt, Florida State, North Carolina, like, Duke plays them all.
Yeah.
I think Miami, too.
Yes.
What did Mike Elko do? You win 9 games in your first year at Duke, and bang.
This is going to be really fun to watch, because with the new scheduling model, that means that next year's easy.
Does it?
Yes, because you are going to be cycling out of Clemson and Florida State. Mike Elko and Duke, currently is set up, will be having easier, tough year. Like, you better.
They should have started the other way this year.
They just announced that contract extension. It's kind of like he's going to get a new contract extension before all the hard years, right? He's going to win 8, 9, 10 games and be like, you know, flirting with being a top 25 team in all the easy years. Then you're going to come back and it's going to get a little bit tougher.
They could be a better team and have a significantly worse record.
100%. But I'm also like, while we are laying that out there, they could beat Louisville. They could beat NC State. I mean,
that's right. They play Louisville too.
Like, this is a situation where, you know, we are preparing ourselves for a correction from exceeding expectations.
Right.
But I do believe that there's some real quality on that coaching staff. I do believe that, like, they don't have 6 defensive linemen that I think would go start a bunch of other places, but they've got a couple.
Right.
You know, they don't have the full 7-man offensive line rotation that could go start anywhere else in the ACC.
No.
But they've got an offensive lineman or two who I think other, like, good Power 5 programs would have loved to come and be a part of. They've got investment.
Right.
Like, I think that while we are preparing ourselves for a drop in the win total from 9 to probably 6, it's a bowl team, and it's one that can get a lot of them.
But they better get their non-conference wins, because the conference wins are going to be tough to come by.
Yes.
For them. They really will be. Chip Patterson is here. Cover 3 podcast, CBSSports.com. I want to make the case for North Carolina. My problem with UNC, even in the Mac Brown era, has been when the real lights get turned on, they have not answered. Every single big game that they have played, they just have not been up to it.
They
play a lot of big games.
And not to pile on here, but just, like, it doesn't even need to be a big game against a huge opponent. You could just be 9-1 playing a night game, Georgia Tech in town with an interim coach, and all you got to do is beat Georgia Tech.
Right.
And in a vacuum.
Well, that becomes a big game.
That that right. should be able to be handled. But because it became a big game, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden the offense gets tight and you just yeah. can't get anything going, and the negativity compounds on itself, and then everybody gets antsy and the dread kicks in. And I think that there's – and I like that Mack Brown, you know, master of talking about his football team yep. and talking about college football. I like that Mack Brown was like, we need to finish better.
Yeah.
You know, like, we need to play better at the end of games.
I think
we've
been incredibly honest about
things. And
we need
to play better at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, we like, let this thing slip away. This could have been a lot better season. But you're to point out the historic, you know, trends that have been there, I just think that when you've got Drake May, you're going to be able to score more points than almost everybody that you play.
Right.
It's a very, very frustrating life to live. But
are you saying they're a better fit for the Big 12?
If this North Carolina team was dropped into the Big 12, that North Carolina team would be competing with Oklahoma, Kansas State, Texas Tech, and TCU for being the second best team in the conference.
Behind Texas?
Yeah, behind Texas.
Wait, so wait, Texas is back now?
Listen,
is Texas legitimately back now?
Time for some truth serum here, all right? So everyone says Texas hasn't won the conference since 2009, which is true. But do you know how many times Texas has been picked in the preseason to win the conference since then?
How many?
Zero.
Really?
Yeah. So we're talking about Texas falling short of expectations.
Oh, so the people within the Big 12 have known that Texas is basically a house of cards for the last dozen years.
And these would be top 15-ish type Texas teams.
Right.
That, you know, were being pushed up like, here we go.
Right.
This is where it's coming back. And then they would end up falling out of the top 25.
Nationally, everybody desires Texas to be back.
Correct.
Right.
But in the Big 12, okay. in the media preseason poll, Texas has not been picked to win the conference since 2009.
All right. I have not spoken at all about NC State, which has a new offensive coordinator and a quarterback
yep.
who worked together to post really amazing numbers at Virginia a couple of years ago. You're replacing Devin Leary. Of course, Devin Leary had an injury-plagued season last year.
Injury-plagued career. One,
that's true.
One
yeah.
full season
yeah.
of full health.
And I loved Devin yeah. Leary. And I still think Devin Leary has a pro future.
I think he's going to be good at Kentucky this year.
Yeah. But talk to me about Brennan Armstrong and what State's offense is likely to look at, because I think over the years they have needed not – necessarily better players. I think the players have been good enough. I think they have need more daring in their offense. They seem to be willing to let their defense kind of do the heavy lifting. And I think the game of college football is flipped. I think you need your offense to be great.
Well, there's also like a zig then zag. Like, if we're going to be the pain in the butt team that you're going to hate playing against
right.
because we're playing rock solid defense, we're mashing you at the line of scrimmage on both sides, and we are maybe being a little more risk averse and playing a field position battle. But you know what, like, coaches hate getting the ball pinned inside their own 15-yard line and
sure.
trying to figure out how to get all the way down the field. And I see the results that Dave Doran has put together and the level of consistency and
right.
the level of player development that he's had. And I'm like, all right, well, this is just you. This is just what you do. Here's where the Robert and I piece comes in for me, because there were times last season and you mentioned like the players not being good enough. Well, it's also, how good are you at doing what we're asking you to do? Because if we are asking you to win one-on-one battles, then you do need to be special. And maybe
right.
there wasn't a lot of really special in that wide receiver room last year. That's when you need to take it into your hands as a coaching staff. Be like, okay, we need to make this easy for them. We need to scheme them mm-hmm. open. I mean, that's always the Hugh Freeze line. It's like Hugh Freeze can get any group of receivers, and just because the way he runs his offense with tempo and spreading things out is every play sets up somebody being wide open with no one within 20 yards of him. So instead of just keeping it more basic in terms of your route trees and the way that these different wide receivers have their assignments on any given play, like, can you help them a little bit so that they don't have to get open and win one-on-one battles on their own? This receiver room, which has seen a good bit of turnover, I'm concerned that they might need some of that creativity
okay.
too. And that if they're asked to just go win one-on-one battles, I mean, there's really good defenses and some pretty good secondaries on NC State's schedule and throughout the ACC. So that's where you're excited about Robert and I bringing that creativity, just because he might make life a little bit easier on some of those pass catchers.
Just to clarify, I actually think that they've had, I mean, they weren't an elite wide receiver core last year. And getting the tight end for a full season,
sure,
I think will matter. But for me, I just think that their philosophy has worked against them when it comes to winning games. I mean, they've certainly won plenty of games, and I love the program. I've been saying this for a long time. They usually leave a win on the table that they need to take with them.
Right.
Just about every year. They kind of average one win a year. Matter of fact, the pandemic year was the only year I would say that, man, they got everything they wanted to get out of that season.
Sure.
Of course, it helped with Carolina. Was the Carolina meltdown in the last 2 minutes? Or was that the following year?
So that was the following year, and Will Brinson and I have talked about that because he said, he was like, look, Clemson game could have gone the other way.
Right.
Carolina game could have gone the other way. We talk about
that's true.
NC State and Dave Doran differently.
Yeah, it's very possible.
If the 2021 season doesn't have those two huge, massive, like invigorating wins for the program.
But I look as a big picture, if you're a State fan, that program is outstanding. For honestly, for historically what their level has been, which is kind of a mid-tier ACC club. But I think that you're in the upper part of that. If you, there are 14 ACC schools. If you, three at the top and then the middle and then with the bottom, they're toward the top
yes.
of that second tier. And that's an okay spot. And they can spike up. And I hope I'm not like pissing people off by saying, well, Gold just thinks we're mid. I'm like, well, this is what NC State football has been. I mean, they've basically been 7-5.
I think they
trend better than that over the long haul with Dave Doran.
The important thing with Robert and I coming in, to my eye, is that Brennan Armstrong is a bridge. You know?
Oh yeah.
Like, you are setting up the future. This year, you are setting up what the offense is going to be as you ramp up to what you hope is going to be another spike, another time where we might be one or two games away from competing for a spot in the ACC championship game. Because that comes around for NC State every 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
You get that.
Right.
You talk about games left on the table. You know, we go back and look at the roster. We go back and look at the results. Yep. And we're like, that team, not that you're going to win the ACC championship. Like, I'm not throwing you ahead of, you know, Jameis and Florida State or Deshaun and Trevor right. and those Clemson teams. But then you look at the teams that were right behind them. You know, NC State was as good as them. So with Robert and I, with Brennan right. Armstrong and the familiarity, you are now creating that evolution, and you're hoping to keep everything steady on the defensive side where they've just been lights out for the last 2 to 3 seasons. And that's how you do the really hard, difficult growth of being able to move up in that middle tier of a competitive conference.
Before we let Chip Patterson go, Clemson won?
Clemson won.
Is Clemson 8-0? One atop the league?
Yeah, I've got them dropping. They could drop a game to Notre Dame.
Well, that's not a conference game, so
right.
That's good.
So I think I've got them. I've got them 8-0, and I think I've got Florida State 7-1.
Florida State 7-1, and beyond them, who's third?
I would have to go look at my conference breakdowns. I was impressed you filled out your ballot.
I did. I sent my ballot. Sent my ballot in this morning.
That's not even due till Friday.
That's right.
You're getting your work done.
That's the way I was in school all the time. That's such a lie. That's such a lie. Due Friday, I was probably doing it Friday morning on the bus.
Yes.
On the way to school. That's Chip Patterson. I appreciate, as always, my friend.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.